Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up, we're going to hear an interview with the whistleblower who is at the center of the controversy about the COVID-19 state dashboard here in Florida. The governor attacked her pretty strongly on Friday. So in just a moment, we're going to hear an interview with Rebecca Jones, the whistleblower behind the first COVID-19 dashboard here in Florida. This is an exclusive interview only here on WMNF. It was part of the program that I recorded for WEDU-TV on Friday night, Florida This Week. And by the way, you can subscribe to a podcast of this program, Radioactivity, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Radioactivity and get this program every day. Well, we're going to listen back to Florida This Week from this past Friday night, including the extensive interview with Rebecca Jones, the whistleblower, about COVID-19 here in Florida. We're also going to talk with the doctor, and we're going to talk with the Pinellas County Administrator. And as we listen back to this program, please give us your thoughts about the program. Just write us at dj@wmnf.org. Send your email that way. And later on, we're going to hear what the governor said attacking Rebecca Jones this past Friday. So here is Florida This Week. Coming up next, the coronavirus pandemic reaches a critical point as the first U.S. vaccine gets preliminary approval and the number of cases soar. Some local hospitals are reaching the breaking point. We'll look at the science of how masks have saved lives locally. And in Tallahassee, armed officers raid the home of a COVID whistleblower. Our guests are Rebecca Jones, the whistleblower who says Florida is undercounting COVID-19 deaths, USF doctor and mask expert Edwin Michael, and Pinellas County Administrator Barry Burton. Next on Florida This Week. Welcome back. Just as the FDA gave initial approval for the first COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S., the numbers have become gloomier than ever. An average of 3,000 Americans are dying every day. That's more than on D-Day or a 9/11 every day. And there were 1 million new cases in the span of just 5 days this week. The crisis across the country and here in Florida is pushing medical centers to the breaking point and leaving staff members and public health officials burned out. For example, in Pasco County, the daily case numbers have doubled in just 1 month. Some hospitals in Sarasota and Manatee counties are close to full capacity as spiking coronavirus cases and an influx of seasonal visitors boost the number of patients seeking treatment. Yet around the Bay Area, you can still find many bars and restaurants where people are ignoring safety guidelines. Our next guest warned last week that medical experts are saying that if we continue on the current path, hospitals in Pinellas County will soon be beyond capacity. Pinellas County Administrator Barry Burton joins us now with the latest. Thanks for being on Florida This Week. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Are we still on track of running out of hospital capacity in Pinellas?
Well, you look at models and those are projections. But what is very, very clear is over the last month, we've seen our case count triple. We're averaging over the last 7 days, 316 new cases a day. A month ago, we were in the 70s cases a day. So we're seeing the percent positivity. We were down once at around 3%, below that 5% threshold. But we're at 6.6% right now as a 7-day average. And our area has seen that throughout the region. In Pasco, they're seeing over 9%, and over in Hillsborough, over 7%. So what's clear is we see increasing number of cases, and if that continues, then the projections are that there'll be a certain population that'll end up in the hospital, and that could exceed our hospital capacity in our emergency rooms.
You and Sheriff Gualtieri held a press conference last week, and the sheriff said that there are some bars and restaurants where people are not practicing social distancing and that they're not wearing masks. I can remember being much younger and going to bars and restaurants, and I understand the need to go out there, the feeling that you want to be out there. But what do you say to a 25 or 35 year old who says that they're impervious to getting this disease?
Well, I say that it's not about you, but it's about the people that you could infect, because you, in fact, may be asymptomatic. You may carry it and then go visit your grandmother or go into your job and spread it to others that will, in fact, run into contact with someone that will be a severe case. So, you know, we're seeing our death count go up. So it's not about you. It's about trying to keep the entire community safe. And unfortunately, we only have, until a vaccine is here and distributed widely, we only have two things we can do. That's social distance and wear a mask.
And are you seeing a lot of 25 and 35-year-olds, the numbers going up among that population in Pinellas?
That is the single biggest demographic of increased case count is in that young population. You know, and we do see it. We saw at our bars when we did inspections of almost 3,000 inspections throughout the county, we found a 40% noncompliance rate in our bars. Mm.
There's some good news this week. The first vaccine was given initial approval, and Pinellas is going to be one of the counties that gets some of that initial vaccines. Tell us what's going to happen in Pinellas County now that this initial approval has taken place.
So we have vaccination plans, and that's going to be led through our health department with our support. So they have, you know, high-risk areas. The first be obviously hitting our long-term care facilities, those at risk, and those employees. So we're gonna begin that immediately. But again, it's gonna take months to be able to get the level of vaccines to where you can penetrate the population enough to where you can kind of break this cycle.
So for the average person in Pinellas County, how many months do you think it'll be before it's widely available and they can just go down to their local drugstore and get a vaccination?
I really can't, you know, speculate on that because I really don't know. You know, I see the same projections that you see or anything else on national news. And, you know, and so it's going to be dependent upon how many different types of drugs are out on the market, how many different makers, and how quickly they can distribute. But, you know, we know it's not going to be over the next month or two. We know it's going to take several months, even into, you know, as late as early summer before we have the volumes nationwide to vaccinate everybody that wants a vaccination.
One last question. We did have a spike here in Florida earlier this year. And what's going to happen in terms of healthcare workers in Pinellas County? If we see the hospitals at capacity, we survived this earlier this year. Are there enough healthcare workers available in Pinellas County to staff the hospitals and staff the other medical facilities?
Well, it's a great question. You know, earlier this year, they had to shut down all elective surgeries as we saw our case counts rise, which they did. But we also were bringing in, and the hospitals were bringing in workers from up north, traveling nurses and things like that. Well, if the case counts are, as they predict, high in the north, well, then where are they going to get those workers from? Because our hospitals are dealing with the same thing as the population. They could have staff out on, you know, because they're quarantining themselves because they've been exposed or actually have coronavirus. So they're running into severe staffing shortages. If this continues, and that's where the concern lies. So it's not just that you have a bed, but you got to have somebody to be able to man and staff that bed and take care of people.
Well, Barry Burton, good luck. Thanks for coming on Florida this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
New models from the University of South Florida Health Department show how nearly 1.5 million COVID-19 cases have been prevented here in the Tampa Bay area because people are wearing masks. Dr. Edwin Michael was part of that study, and he joins us now. And Dr. Michael, welcome to Florida this week. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show.
Let me first play a soundbite from a recent Pinellas School Board meeting. This is from a person who is opposed to masks.
Epidemics have not occurred in schools, regardless of mask usage. The mask mandate is not about health, but about compliance, and we do not consent.
For everyone that's speaking up in favor of the mandates, I promise there are at least twice as many of them with a brain that are adamantly against them.
What do you say to people who think that we don't really need to wear masks?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there are two aspects to it. You know, one is to go back to the biology of transmission. You know, this is a respiratory infection, and its transmission occurs through droplets, you know, when you cough and sneeze, and then also when you breathe through aerosols. You know, those are larger particles. Droplets are much smaller particles, and they project to about 6 feet, and that's where the physical distancing of 6 feet come into play. So if you wear a mask, you know, immediately that tells you that you're going to form a barrier for, you know, transmitting those droplets on which the virus, you know, actually rides, or the aerosols. And, you know, if you just start looking at the studies, the empirical data, you know, out there, and there's also been a lot of, you know, large-scale studies done in human communities as well. You know, one major study, about 200 countries, they looked at mask mandates and looked at weekly, you know, rates of death, you know, pre and post the mandates. And they found there was a 4-time, you know, reduction in the death rates after you wear masks. Mm-hmm. And these are in human communities. And these are, you know, data, large scale data, which is coming in. And those are 200 countries. But we just, let's look at the U.S. You know, there's been a study done on, you know, across 20 states which had mask mandates, and plus D.C. They looked at the rate of growth of the epidemic pre-mandate, for 21 days pre-mandate, and 21 days after mandate. They found there was a 2 percentage point drop in the growth rate, and that will translate to a large number of cases which are being averted or reduced, you know. So, and these are actual data, you know, and that is telling us that these masks do work.
Let me ask you about the good news about the vaccine. The preliminary approval for this first vaccine is now out. How soon do you think that we might achieve herd immunity here in the U.S.?
Yeah. So, you know, our modeling is suggesting if the vaccines are rolled out, let's say from January onwards, and we are using the phased rollout strategy that the CDC has put together and many states are going to follow. Even with those phased rollouts, where you have an initial low rate of vaccination, increasing to moderate and then to very high rate of vaccination, we are predicting that by end of April, you know, you would have reached the levels of herd immunity, which is like 60 to 80% in different counties. That will be sufficient.
That's incredibly good news. By April, we could get herd immunity. Does that mean that we will no longer have to wear masks and we can go back into bars and restaurants?
Yes, we are on the roadmap to recovery with the vaccines. So I think the message we have to give out to people is that don't despair. This is not going to last. The vaccines are coming, you know, and wearing masks will help, you know, prevent deaths while the vaccines are being rolled out. You know, that is the problem, because the vaccines are not going to stop the coming wave. You know, the coming wave needs to be suppressed using face masks and physical distancing. That still needs to, you know, to be maintained. But by the end of April, we can all, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, because we are going to hit the levels of herd immunity, provided people are going to take the vaccines.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then you can reopen the economy fully. You can stop all measures. You've controlled the pandemic once and for all.
Well, Dr. Edwin Michael, thank you so much. Great news. And let's hope that's the way it turns out.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too, you know. So I think the message is, you know, we have to hunker down for the next few months until end of April, unfortunately, which means Christmas has to be a different, you know, way of celebrating Christmas and the new year. But it's just until the end of April. After that, you know, we are done. This epidemic is history.
Dr. Michael, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement raided the Tallahassee home of Florida data scientist Rebecca Jones this week.
Come outside. Outside.
Who else is in the house, ma'am?
My two children and my husband.
Where's your husband at?
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm Calm down.
You want the children down?
Calm them all down.
Mr. Jones, come down the stairs. Now!
Police, come down now!
Search warrant, bring
your children!
Down the stairs.
My children!
Glenn, hang on, let me clear my
mind. He just pointed a gun at my children!
Jones was fired from her job from running the COVID dashboard here in Florida in May. She claims Governor Ron DeSantis downplayed the severity of the outbreak and that she was asked to manipulate state data. Police say they were investigating whether Jones had unauthorized access to a state emergency messaging system and had sent a warning message to former colleagues urging them to speak out about the coronavirus. Joining us now is Rebecca Jones. Rebecca, welcome to Florida this week. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca, I want to ask you about the governor in Tampa on Friday. He said you became famous because you pushed a coronavirus conspiracy theory. What would you say back to the governor?
I'd say that I was a very unwilling participant in the media circus that happened in May, and that I refused to speak to anybody from the press for days while he went out and slandered me and defamed me and left me no choice but to speak out.
Why did you finally come out? Why, after all those days, why did you finally begin to speak to reporters?
Because I realized that my personal privacy had already, it was gone, it evaporated. I had no privacy anymore. And the information that I had could possibly save lives. And I had an obligation, a moral obligation, to tell people.
Do you think the state coronavirus dashboard is currently telling us or giving us an accurate picture of the dimension of the disease here in the state?
Well, the dashboard that I built was really only one aspect of the entire data system that I ran over at the Department of Health. And we already know that DeSantis's administration has personally intervened in how deaths and hospitalizations are counted in this state. We are one of only a handful of states left that does not track nor report probable cases and deaths. The CDC says that we're undercounting deaths from coronavirus by as much as 8,000, which is pretty significant considering we're still under 20,000 at this point. So yes, there's a lot of manipulation going on and a lot of withholding of data.
The crime that the FDLE is investigating, apparently it's a third-degree felony, is that somebody allegedly posted on a state messaging board platform calling state employees to speak up before another 17,000 people die. That was posted on a state platform. It's apparently a felony. Your IP address, according to state officials, was the source of that text message. What do you say to that?
That is what they are claiming. That is the IP address that my former employer, who I have filed a whistleblower complaint against, who fired me publicly and has been at odds with me for the last 6 months, provided them. And it's really interesting to me that they're claiming that this was such a secure service when come to find out that the username and password to that account was posted in seven different places online, accessible to the public, on the Department of Health website.
Now, the FDLE posted a longer video this week of them coming into your house, and we're going to play some of that B-roll right now. But you said it was like a Gestapo action, but they say you took 23 minutes to come to the door. Why did it take 23 minutes to come to the door?
It did not. The police never announced that they were there with a warrant. They never told me they were there with a warrant. As far as I understood, you do not have to speak to the police or open your door if they do not have a warrant. As soon as they announced that they had a warrant, it was 39 seconds between when they said police warrant, open the door, and when the door was open. 39 seconds. That's how long it took.
Mm-hmm. You said that they pointed guns at your children. They say they didn't do it. Why do you say that they pointed guns at your children?
I have video of them doing it. They came into my house. I told them that there were my two children inside the house. I had repeatedly said there were children in there. And only after I said that my husband and my two children were in the house did one of the officers take out his gun and point it up the stairs.
Why do you think this raid took place?
The officers can actually be heard discussing my cell phone in the longer video that they released. I know a lot of people probably don't want to go through it and transcribe it the way that I did, but they were discussing my cell phone during that period and how they thought that I was flushing it down the toilet and that it was something they needed to make sure that they got. So this was never about just taking my computer devices, which supposedly is where this message came from, is from a computer, which they took my computer but left several other laptops in my house. And they wanted my phone. My phone was the most important thing to them because on my phone are all of the communications I've had with state officials, not just within the Department of Health, but in other state agencies as well, who have come and provided me evidence and have told me things that are going on at the state that are illegal, highly immoral, and unethical. And I think that they wanted to know who's been telling me what.
You, based on your conversations with those state employees, do you think that the DeSantis administration is trying to deny the extent of the COVID problem here in Florida by keeping state workers muzzled?
Absolutely. There was a report that came out in the Sun Sentinel, actually the day that the warrant was signed from my house, from a judge that DeSantis had sworn in less than a month before he signed that warrant. It was the first warrant he's ever signed. And I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you think that state workers are being muzzled by the DeSantis administration?
Yeah, the Sun Sentinel came out with an article with a line of evidence saying that in the weeks before the election, state health employees were told not to talk about COVID-19 in any context. They were completely shut up from being able to even discuss the virus, even though things were getting worse in the state in the weeks leading up to the election. The communications director, or the former communications director from the Department of Health, issued that. His name was Alberto, and he was fired around the time that this message was supposedly sent to state employees telling them to speak out.
Now that your cell phone is in the hands of the state, do you think that some workers' jobs may be at risk, workers that were talking to you?
I hope that I put enough security measures on my phone to protect those people. I made every best effort that I could. I used double encryption and secure messaging apps. But I have issued very clear and stark warnings that they do have it, which means there is a potential that they're at risk. And after what happened to me in my house, I would hope that those individuals take that risk extremely seriously and make whatever arrangements they need.
How big of a change has this been for you? What's it been like going through this for the past few months?
It's strange because all I've really ever wanted to do was work in emergency response. When I was young, I went through Hurricane Katrina and saw how devastating a mishandling of emergency response can be. And ever since then, that has been my goal. My only purpose is to help people prevent unnecessary suffering and death. And I feel like in a weird, strange turn of events, I've been able to do that to an extent over the last 6 months that I never imagined possible. And it's kind of this weird situation where it's awful to have a governor hate you that much, a man who I've never actually sat down and spoken to one-on-one, to loathe me in the way that he does just for reporting information. But I feel like the work that I've done and the research that I've done has, I hope, made a difference and helped save at least one person's life. And then if I did that, then all of this stuff that he's put me through is worth it.
Rebecca, we just have about 40 seconds, but what would it take? You know, the governor's pushing back and he's denying everything that you're saying. What would it take to get to the bottom of this, to get the truth out? What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see the FBI investigate the governor. That's what I'd like to see.
Do you think he's committed crimes?
He's committed many crimes.
Based on?
My experience at the state, the raid of my house, and the fact that Monday he claimed that he had no knowledge of the investigation, and then this morning he claimed that he knew all along and detailed every single aspect of it. You can't just break down people's doors and arrest them because you don't like that they're doing research that makes you look bad, that makes people understand better what's going on around them. That's not how this country works. That's not how this country is supposed to work. And it should be a crime to just harass people because you don't like what they're saying. It's unconscionable.
Rebecca Jones, thank you for coming on Florida This Week.
Thank you for having me.
Finally, YouTube producer Ryan Bignose created a video featuring two familiar politicians and Tobey Maguire and Snoop Dogg. It is a deep fake. Enjoy. We'll see you next week.
Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV, and my guests are Rebecca Jones, the COVID whistleblower here in Florida, whose home was raided last Monday by the FDLE, and we also heard from Dr. Edwin Mitchell, who's an epidemiologist at the USF College of Public Health, and we heard from Barry Burton, who's the Pinellas County Administrator. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. The video of this interview should be posted on the WEDU-TV website. At least, I think it should be up right now. And it's too bad you missed the video for the closing, because it shows a drum circle with President Trump, Joe Biden, Snoop Dogg, and actor Tobey Maguire. So it's a pretty funny video. We ended on a light note on that show. And again, if you want to call us up and talk about this, our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can, as I mentioned before, send an email into the studio, the address dj@wmnf.org. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis was in Tampa last Friday, and he was taking part in a discussion about mental health issues, and he was questioned about reporters, or questioned by reporters who were asking him about the raid on Rebecca Jones' house. And this is what the governor said last week in when he was questioned about the raid on Rebecca Jones.
I mean, one is this individual became known because she alleged a conspiracy theory at the Department of Health, which is unfounded, never proven at all. She was fired because she wasn't doing a good job. There was none of the stuff that she said was ever proven. You think that would be the end of it? Obviously, she's got issues. On this situation, there was an intrusion of a very sensitive system. It's an emergency alert system. If somebody gets a hold of that, they can do a lot of damage. I mean, you could really frighten a lot of elderly people, other vulnerable populations. So when that happened, the Department of Health did the right thing. They went to law enforcement. They said, we can't allow this to happen, and do an investigation. And so the health or the law enforcement looked at the intrusion. They identified the IP address. Then they did what any investigator would do. They subpoenaed the internet provider. The internet provider provided this residence as the IP address that did the intrusion. So they got a search warrant, got the devices, and guess what? They're probably going to be able to match those devices to the intrusion, at which point that's clearly a felony offense. And so I think Floridians want government to protect them. I think that they want these sensitive systems to be protected. I don't think they want them to be intrusion. And just because you're a darling of some corners of the fever swamps, that does not exempt you from following the law.
Rebecca Jones raid before it happened?
Excuse me?
Were you aware that the Rebecca Jones raid was
about? I knew there was an investigation. I didn't know what they were going to. It's not a raid. I mean, with all due respect, what you just said is editorializing. Okay, they served. Excuse me. Excuse me. No, excuse me. I'm not going to let you get away with it. These people did their jobs. They've been smeared as the Gestapo for doing their jobs. They did a search warrant. Why did they do a search warrant on the house? Because her IP address was linked to the felony. What were they supposed to do? Just ignore it? Of course not. They went, they followed protocol. We actually have video from the Tallahassee PD showing that they were very respectful. She was not cooperative. It was not a raid. They were serving valid process in accordance with the laws and constitution of the United States and the state of Florida. They did it with integrity. They did it with honor. And to say it's a raid is disinformation. And you guys need to drive, excuse me. You guys need to look at facts and stop trying to feed narratives. I understand why you do it, but it's not supported by facts, and so you should be better than that. All right, thanks everybody.
That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis last Friday in Tampa justifying the raid on Rebecca Jones' home. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. We heard the governor there say that this was an intrusion. The investigation was into an intrusion of a very sensitive system. It's a felony offense, and Floridians want government to protect them. If you look at the website, theverge.com, they've done some reporting about this, and I don't, I have not seen this reported elsewhere, so we should just take this with a grain of salt. But The Verge is reporting that the supposedly private messaging system that Jones might have accessed might have effectively been just an email address that the Florida Department of Health may have inadvertently published for anyone to see on the open web. So the governor called it an intrusion of a very sensitive system, and The Verge is reporting that anyone could see how to access the system on the web. And Ars Technica reports that Redditors discovered that not only does the Florida Department of Health have a single shared username and password, but that username and password is also freely accessible on the web. And you can see this report at TheVerge.com. I have not seen it reported elsewhere. It may have been reported elsewhere, but apparently, there, at least according to this report, it was very easy to access this supposedly highly protected state website. And the crime that they're looking into is somebody posted a message on that website urging state workers to speak out about the COVID-19 situation here in Florida before another 17,000 people die. Well, what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Tony writes this, Governor DeSantis has no appreciation for constitutional freedoms. He takes his cues from his overseer, Donald Trump. Florida has the worst coronavirus results of the four largest states. DeSantis just wants to hide that fact from public scrutiny. Shame on him and the GOP legislature. That's Tony's email. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Sean in Tampa. Sean, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
So what's up? What would you like to say?
So I just wanted to say that what the governor said that you just played, I didn't hear it before, but it made sense to me. I mean, I don't know if that puts me in a minority or I mean, I don't know how other people feel about it. That's just, you know, my take on it just from what I heard. And then I guess I'll hang up and then you can tell me why it makes sense or not, or, you know, other callers can tell me their opinions, but that's just my interpretation at it.
Okay. All right, Sean, thanks a lot. Yeah, the governor said it was a very sensitive system. It was an intrusion on a very sensitive system run by the state. It's a felony offense, as I mentioned in my interview with Rebecca. And he said Floridians want government to protect them. But then I just read from The Verge, which is an online news organization. They said that this supposedly highly protected system had an email address published on the web for anybody to see, and that the Florida Department of Health had a single shared username and password, meaning that of the 17,000 people who had access to this list, everybody knew what the shared username and password was, so it wasn't highly protected. If it was a highly protected system, you wouldn't have a shared username and password for all 17,000 people. So is the governor overreacting here? Is the governor being straight with us? Or is the governor right in that the FDLE was right to serve the search warrant on Rebecca Jones? By the way, Sean Canana is going to bring on local Congressman Charlie Crist to talk about this issue in the next hour. So we're going to hear what Congressman Charlie Crist thinks about the raid on Rebecca Jones' home. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Dave writes this, DeSantis is a Trump wannabe. They tell you why someone is such a bad person. He is an example of what the GOP has become, writes Dave. And then a lot of people saying that DeSantis is a Trump mini-me. So several people writing that in. Randy writes this, is it just me or does Governor DeSantis sound exactly like Donald Trump? Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, writes Randy in Palm Harbor. Yeah, he did. He really tore into that reporter from Channel 8 the other day. 813-239-9663 is the phone number. And thanks a lot for listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Dave, who's in Tampa. Dave, thanks for calling. What would you like to comment about?
Oh, hi. I just had a couple of questions. I guess I feel that what the lady was saying is probably true about the, you know, about other people being able to find this IP address and, you know, use different laptops. And the fact that they didn't take the other computers in her house, you know, just kind of shows me that they were just fishing for her information. But according to Santos, the difference, you know, he's saying that there's a difference between a serving a search warrant and a raid. And maybe you can clarify that. I would think that anytime you enter into a house in the morning time with your guns, that would be a raid. It's not a search warrant. And, I was curious if why you guys don't give out your email address anymore with your phone number for this show.
We don't give out our email address. So our email address is dj@wmnf.org.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You guys used to say that each time whenever you gave out the phone number. And I don't live here in the summertime, so I tried emailing that last Saturday or last Friday. It seemed like it came back as an invalid address, but maybe I just had it written in wrong.
Yeah, it could be. No, we try to give out our email address a lot, and it is dj@wmnf.org.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, help clear up the phone lines a little bit. And I was curious. It seems like when I come back this fall, it seems like your radio station is not reaching as far. And even in Tampa, it seems like it gets to pick up a lot of static. Is there something going on with maybe 88.1 or something, that Christian radio station that's maybe just a little stronger? It's kind of like...
Yeah, Sean, I don't know. I'll have to ask our engineers.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. Listen to the station. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I mean, I guess the question is, if armed officers, and there were about five of them that I saw in the video, there may have been more, come to your door, pound on it, demand to be let in, enter the hallway of your townhome, a very narrow hallway, and then point the gun upstairs, or at least one of them points a gun upstairs and demands that the husband comes down and the children are at the top of the stairs, one, two, and 1-9, is that a raid? I don't know. I mean, to me, it looks like a raid because they end up taking things and they also serve a warrant. I think it's fair to say that the governor is trying to split hairs. He's used the word at other times when they raided Roger Stone's home in Miami and did something similar. I don't think it really matters. I mean, armed officers went into this woman's home and they took some of her stuff, and she's being investigated for a possible felony crime. I think that's enough to call it a raid. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Casey, who's in Tampa. Casey, thanks for calling. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. Just to echo what all the other callers and emailers are saying, you close your eyes and you listen to our governor, it is just a slightly more articulate Donald Trump. And now until 2024, he's just going to keep using that playbook of attacking the media to defend his actions because that plays to his base. And that's all he has to do now until 2024 when he announced he's going to run for president.
Is it a smart move to just play to your base? Because I think he is playing to the base. Is that a smart move for a politician who's running in a state where about maybe 30, 35%, maybe 40% of the people are part of his base, the rest are not? Is it a smart move?
You know, until the Democrats get their stuff in order and learn how to win statewide, I think it is. Ron DeSantis pulled off of a win in 2018, and the president played to his base in 2020 and pulled off a huge win in this state. And it's sad to see, but, you know, this state is a 50-plus-1 state, and right now Ron DeSantis is lying to us day in and day out and attacking the media instead of helping healthcare workers and, you know, addressing COVID, and it seems to be working for him. And then just a second thing, Rebecca Jones, you know, she's a data scientist. She's a very smart professional, and data is not tech. But, you know, if she really did this and, as the governor says, hacked into the state website, do you really think she would do it from her own home and using her own laptop if she was really trying to commit a felony? Don't you think she would maybe do this from a public computer at a library or something? Did she really want this to happen? I hate to push out conspiracy theories, but in this day and age, it really just seems that the left has conspiracy theories and the right has conspiracy theories, and it really just depends on which base is bigger and which base believes it more.
Yeah. Well, Casey, I think those are good questions. And I think that's a reason to have an independent investigation to see why this is happening. The FDLE is really controlled by people who are very close to the Republican establishment in Tallahassee. A guy named Swearingen is in there now. He was the bodyguard for former Governor Rick Scott. I think it's fair to say, and he was put in that position in a very mysterious way because the guy who had been in there before was not screwing up the job, but the previous head of the FDLE was thrown out. New guy comes in who has some allegiance to Rick Scott. And I think, when Rebecca calls for an FBI investigation, I think there needs to be an independent investigation. I don't know who that body is, but let's get to the bottom of it. You raise a good question. I mean, she knows enough about computers that computers and cell phones leave an IP address behind. Would she really be that dumb to break the law with her own device?
Yeah. I'll take my call there.
Casey, thank you. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Ron in West Tampa writes this: the press conference that you played with DeSantis reminded me of why the governor is so close to Trump. He acts almost just like him, strong-arming reporters and speaking over them as he lays down the law. DeSantis does not listen, and DeSantis is a bully, writes Ron in West Tampa. Mike in St. Pete writes, Floridians need to be protected from DeSantis. He wants to cover up his screw-up handling the pandemic. That's Mike's opinion out there. Mike, thank you for that. And DeMarco writes, what DeSantis did to Rebecca Jones and family was fascism. And he points out that there are 300,000 dead in the U.S., and 70,000 children kidnapped and caged. I don't know if that number is accurate, but there certainly were children that were separated from their parents and may never get back to their parents. I don't know if that number is 70,000. I think that's too high. 813-239-9663. And let's go to Ed in Bradenton. Ed, thank you for calling WMNF.
Hey, Rob, great show. You know when the governor makes statements like that at a press conference, it clearly shows how he's willing to deceive the people of Florida. Usually, when you get a subpoena, a guy in an off-duty officer or a guy in a suit shows up at your door and hands you some legal-looking paperwork. This was clearly a raid. We can clearly see in the video. The officers with a sledgehammer and guns drawn, pointing it in the windows, pointing it people, her children up the stairs, and her husband shouting, threatening behavior. So clearly, this was a raid, and the governor is blowing huge clouds of smoke.
All right, Ed. Thanks you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
All right, good to hear from you. And Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Let's go to Doreen in Sarasota. Doreen, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I think what happened to that young lady is a disgrace on Floridians in general, and we should be careful. We're turning half the state is turning a blind eye to something. All it takes is someone making an accusation that you did something, and you have the FDLE at your front door pointing guns at your 2-year-old. Thank God they didn't confiscate the child's bottle. Secondly, I would like to point out all she was trying to do was report the truth. When did that become such a crime? And it, to me, it was more an intimidation factor for the people still working within the state of Florida. You better watch out. We do this to her publicly. Think what we can do to you without the media even knowing about it. And thirdly, why does he even think he's going to get reelected when Ivanka's after his job?
Well, I think those are good points. Doreen, thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and this is WMNF in Tampa. When you send in an email, just give us your first name as you send it in, too. Barbara writes this: the Republicans have perfected the righteous indignation tone to shut down challenges to their lies. The rest of us have to learn how to come back just as powerfully with our challenges. We tend to pause and give careful consideration to what people are saying, but in the face of lying liars, we have to jump right back down their throats with our facts and our outrage. And yes, it was a raid, writes Barbara in Bradenton. By the way, Rebecca Jones is going to be a guest on this program on Thursday, so we'll talk to her live on Thursday and bring you up to date. Undoubtedly, there will be new news about the case this week. Tomorrow in this program, we're going to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein case. So I hope you subscribe to Radioactivity, wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, you're on Radioactivity on WMNF.
Hey, Rob, happy Monday. You know, I've always found, and this is just my opinion, I've always found DeSantis to be a condescending piece of work himself, always talking down to people. But, yes, I would look to my government overlords to keep me safe, because I'm just this weak, paranoid citizen out here who just, you know, looks to them to protect me as if I would look to our horrible healthcare system to keep me healthy. But yeah, that was a raid. I mean, guns were drawn. It was all about intimidation, full on intimidation. I mean, would Joe Friday have done this, Rob? Would he have come in? No, he would have came in and asked questions, told them what was going on, and gone about their business. But everything has to be about this strong arming, intimidation, you know,
and Andy, as crimes go, if somebody posts a message on a message board that goes out to state emergency workers and says, please speak up about the COVID crisis, tell the truth before 17,000 more people die, as crimes go, how would you rate posting that message?
It wouldn't even be in my top 20.
Would it be in your top 1,000? I mean, if the FDLE's job is to investigate crimes against state law, would that be in the top 1,000 crimes that occurred last Monday?
Are you kidding me? That's not even in the orbit. We've got so much crap going on around here, and this is coming from a almost 60-year-old native of this state, and that's why so many times I've come so close to leaving here, because it just disgusts me what we've let happen around here. And a lot of people who have moved here in the past 20 years may think it's paradise found, but it's paradise lost if you've been here long enough.
Okay, Andy, thank you. Let's go to the commuter who's in Melbourne. Commuter, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, that was a raid.
Well, the governor says it wasn't a raid.
Well, I was school-trained in the military police.
We were trained. I mean,
the governor says they were just serving a warrant. That's what.
What I saw on the television looked exactly like the training that we did in military police school. I mean, that was a raid. There's no other way to describe it. It was textbook. And it's great over here on the Space Coast, man. Come over and visit me someday.
All right, commuter. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. And you can send in your email to dj@wmnf.org. Kevin writes this. The governor says that initially a warrant was being served, which contradicts the fact of a 20-minute delay in Ms. Jones answering the door. I agree with the term raid and believe that initially the officers wanted to investigate without the warrant, writes Kevin. And then Elizabeth writes, it was a raid. This is using the state powers for retribution by Governor DeSantis. This was a nice and civil raid, though compared to the raids in many of our ethnic neighborhoods where people are less respectful of lives and property, those are more terrifying, writes Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thanks for your thoughts. And then Paul in Fort McCoy writes, what credibility does DeSantis have? How many deaths in Florida are directly his responsibility? We will never know because of his actions to cover up his unscientific, inept response to the virus. He denied and downplayed this crisis and failed in his duty. Kudos to a brave woman who stood up when it counted, writes Paul, who's in Fort McCoy. Thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones and get your views. We're going to go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, thanks, Rob. No, this is disgusting to hear this. And on top of that, it's always said that this is now Trump's home state. And I just feel like they're preparing this to become the kingdom of Trump after Biden takes office. It just, you know, there's so many fascist things going on in this state. Like, what is it that I think it's the Pasco, I can't think of his name, the sheriff or whatever, looking into backgrounds of teenagers before they even commit a crime. It's just things like that that go on in Florida. And I just, I don't like it. And somebody just said this is like paradise lost. It is. It really is. It never was like this before. And it just, under Republican control with the legislature right now. So, you know, just wait until the coming months when Biden takes office. I just wonder what's going to transpire. Okay.
All right, Fran, thank you for your views. Let's go to Jesse in Brooksville. Jesse, what would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say thank you for replaying the show because I don't watch TV, and that's the only way. And the only news I get is NPR. I only listen to it. So I really do appreciate you replaying Florida This Week because that's the only way I get to hear it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to do it.
Yeah, and I just want to say, a caller earlier it said something about the signal. The signal in the wintertime, it does get weak. We have solar flares. We just had a big solar flare a couple weeks ago, and it was like I'm sitting here in my yard in Brooksville. You know, this is Jesse in Brooksville. Everybody knows I call in on every show, but now I'm picking up St. Augustine, 88.5 out of St. Augustine, just sitting here in my yard in Brooksville.
Wow!
And WFCF Flagler Community Radio. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And at first I thought, well, this is kind of like M&F on steroids, but you know what? Then when they had the little thing to online to listen on air, it was part of iHeart. I was like, oh, okay, never mind. You know, the iHeart radio thing. Yeah. Oh, I'm
okay.
Yeah, hey.
Well, Jesse, thanks a lot. I'm glad you're able to listen to the TV show on Mondays. Thanks.
No. Yeah, I don't watch TV, but that's why I'm glad you replayed it.
Yeah, Jesse, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And let's go to Rex in Sarasota. Rex, we just have 30 seconds. What's up?
No, not much. I was just listening to your radio and hearing everybody complain about Florida. I was born and raised here in Sarasota, and I hear all these people that come here from somewhere else. Well, I don't like it here. Well, then leave. Okay, and they're saying it's going to be better when Biden gets in. At least Trump didn't sell our country to China, you know. And that's why Biden's got to get in, because if they don't, they're going to smoke him. because he's already sold half of the country to China as it is.
So would you expect that you're going to see Chinese people moving into your neighborhood? And
No, it doesn't matter. I don't care if Chinese move into my neighborhood. I'm not a racist person. I don't care what ethnic they are or color they are, but I just don't want our country sold to another country.
That's all right. Exactly. Well, Rex, we'll have to talk about how do you sell a country to China. But we only have 1 second left. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about this show on extension 115. We'll play those comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF in Tampa.